Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday. We made it. Didn't think it was possible, but made it another week. And I hope everyone's enjoying March Madness. I know I am. Some games more than others, but it's a welcome distraction at a time when the Packers aren't making a ton of headlines, other than we know we discussed yesterday the announcement of the head coaching staff. But one guy who is not exactly generating big headlines or headlines at all, other than some social media posts, some acknowledgments on the internet via the websites and socials, etc., is Jordan Love. And I just wanted to take a moment here and on a Friday when we're heading into the weekend and I'm feeling pretty good about life and just acknowledging how lucky we are as Packers fans to have Jordan Love as the face of the franchise representing the Green Bay Packers, just for the little things he's doing around the community, with and in the community he is, you know, has adopted, so to speak. Everything from, you know, the clip we saw this morning of him shouting out the Seymour basketball team going to the Division III state final, rooting them on, and then seeing off the women's team in Green Bay, surprising them and having a little photo op there. Just great to see him kind of ingratiate himself into the community. And the fact that he's the opening day first pitch, you know, guy down there in Milwaukee next week for the Brewers. I just love how Jordan has embraced Wisconsin, you know. And look, that's not to say that other guys haven't. I know Rodgers did very early on in his career, as did Brett, but it never should be taken for granted when a guy has every opportunity to get the hell out of Dodge, especially considering the deal he signed when he became the long-term starter for the Packers. Offseason, guys get out of town, especially when winter hits and there's not a whole hell of a lot to do there in Northeast Wisconsin. Jordan, now he did a little traveling. We know he went to Japan, etc., but it's just great to see him a part of the community representing the Green Bay Packers. And it doesn't feel forced. It feels pretty natural and organic. I just love that we can take pride of the fact that Jordan Love is our starting quarterback. And it also helps, of course, that he's really fucking good as a quarterback. But a guy that just seems to get it, just to really leans into the community aspect of being the face of the franchise for the Green Bay Packers. Heady days, and I understand the postseason has not gone the way we have wanted to as fans, but when you pull back and you look at the totality of what the Packers mean and what they are, I just love the Jordan Love is the representative, the face of the franchise. It's good stuff. Good time to be a Packers fan. Got to think MVPs in the future for this young man, along with, yes, a Lombardi trophy, a Super Bowl ring. And the fact that he, like I said, has embraced Wisconsin the way he has already, and what is still, you know, early on in his career as an NFL quarterback. I love it. 10-10. No notes. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see you all. Rick's here. How you doing, Rick? Dennis, of course, Dennis. Hi, Dennis. Amy's here. What's up, Amy? Hope you're well. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our good friends over at ThetaCare. You put your heart into football, which is why ThetaCare Cardiovascular Care puts their full clinical resources into yours. From screenings to specialized treatment, get the expert care you deserve. Trust ThetaCare Cardiovascular Care to keep your heart game day ready. Proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, what's going on? How we doing out here? How we living, E4? What's up, man? Tough decisions for the pack, such as how much longer do we need to make the trophy case? Those will be heady days if and when they can win one, let alone several championships, and have to start aligning those Lombardi trophies there at 1265 Lombardi. But yes, that will be a dream. Absolutely. Jeff, what's up, man? Nags, I'm around the same age as you, a couple years older. Was there ever a better time in all of sports fandom than the mid-90s when the Phoenix rose from the ashes after decades of struggles? You mean much like the Packers did in the 90s after decades of struggles? I mean, I remember those Dick Bennett teams. That was a ton of fun to watch, man. I'll give you that. Certainly one of those moments that you try to remember and enjoy and appreciate, right? Because it doesn't just happen. like you indicate, it took a long time to get there. But it's so weird how you very rarely appreciate it as much as you probably should when you're in that moment. I know I didn't. You know, I mean, with the Packers, it was different because I had been such a long-suffering fan. But with the Green Bay team, with the men's basketball team, it was just something that I had gone to games growing up. My dad used to take me, but it was never something that I was diehard about. I like didn't follow every game. I wasn't looking for, you know, the results in the paper every day or anything like that. But I certainly remember them when they were a bit on the come up and suddenly they were quite good, right? Yeah, man, those heady days to be sure. Mick, I don't know what this means. Is Messiah Swinson blocking people in March? I'm not quite sure, man. We're going to need a little illumination on that one. Tyler, what's up? God, when does football start? I'm all for baseball season, but this basketball stuff is getting old and boring. It's just barely, what are you talking about? I mean, like, March Madness is fun, don't you think? I don't know. I hear you. I miss football as well, but it's okay to let a couple other sports into the spotlight. I mean, hey, may I suggest the Premier League, although that's about to end, but right around the corner, we got World Cup. That's good. That's, I'm excited about the World Cup. I cannot wait to watch the tournament this summer. It's always my favorite kind of stretch. Get through the World Cup, and then now NFL football is back, and you're on your way. So that's good. That's good stuff. Cannot wait. Jerry, what's up, man? Not a fan of the 3-4 base, but Gannon has so many defensive looks, variables, and packages that it's not finite. Drawing up his pressure should be fun. It's interesting. I see. It's so funny. I was just thinking about this earlier today, and I know I tweeted it out about Brian's quote from the combine where he did say point blank, there are going to be 3-4 looks and things in Gannon's defense that, yes, will be based in 3-4. But it's funny to hear someone say not a fan of the 3-4 base. What, like, in this day and age, in the year 2026, NFL football has moved on from it's a 4-3 or a 3-4 as far as even approaching, what, a handful of snaps in that actual base personnel or even concept. Everything is multiple now. As Brian always says, you know, it's a nickel league. It is. You're out there. You're going to see Javon Bullard way more than you're ever going to see a third linebacker or even a fourth linebacker. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. You can have preferences for one or the other, but it's so, so driven by sub packages now. And as you indicate, like, the way they utilize the personnel, especially on the back end, is going to be far more interesting than whatever's going on 3-4 or 4-3 up front, which I'll bet I would lay money that even though they quote 3-4 base, right? That's on what? First down? Maybe? You know, depending on the opponent too. Like, if you got a team that you're facing that you know loves to, you know, utilize a bunch of different skill position players all across the formation, maybe you don't come out in 3-4. You know, especially if they go light and they throw a ton of wide receivers out there. I don't expect to see a 3-4 base call from Gannon. You know what I mean? Like, again, I get there are inherent strengths and weaknesses for both types, both schemes, but you're in sub. They used to, you know, the kind of go adage used to be you're in sub 70. It's not even 70 now. It's like 90% of the time you're in some kind of sub personnel that isn't a strict base 4-3 or 3-4. Those principles may, you know, occur and be the driver behind whatever guys are being asked to do on certain calls. But yeah, it's just so different now. I remember it was such a big deal when Dom switched to the 3-4 after they had been a 4-3 team for so long. I mean, essentially, I think going back to the 96, the Shermer defenses, right? That was a 4-3. And then when Dom came along, I remember it was one of the first videos we ever made at Cheesehead TV at the Fan Fest there at Lambeau Field. I think you can still find it on our channel here, actually. I asked Dom about the differences, you know, because he was the godfather of the zone blitz and 3-4 was such a very different thing at that time in the NFL. But now everybody's run everything and everybody meshes everything together. So much of what's going on is way more about what happens after the snap of the ball rather than whatever alignments you're utilizing pre-snap. That's just the way the game has gone on defense, you know, and that's why so much of what you've seen offensively in the NFL has gotten cyclical as far as going back to heavier personnel and trying to dictate through those matchups as far as getting bigger guys on defense that you can hopefully maybe try to take advantage of with your tight ends in the passing game. You know, it's a fascinating time, but like 3-4, 4-3, that's so, I don't know. I don't want to say it's not relevant because of course it is, but it's just such not a concern for me anyway. It's a very rambling response. So I apologize. MA, how you doing, man? Yo, finally caught one, Nags. Have you seen Barron training with Micah? I love the mentor role he has. I think 99 might break out. Don't like Butkus back. Also, Packers Twitter wants Ogden for Reed. Yeah, well, I did a whole rant about that earlier this week. So, yeah, I'm not a fan of that in any way, shape, or form. In fact, there's a short here on the channel that you can check out about that. As far as Sorrell, yes, 1 billion percent. I'm in on this kid having a big year. Not saying he's going to be all pro or anything, but you definitely saw the promise in his rookie tape. Certainly took advantage of the opportunities he was given last year. I think getting him on the field more, especially with Micah out most likely for the first four games, he's going to get opportunities, and I expect him to continue to take, hopefully, steps forward and become somewhat of a disruptor. You know, now he's got to do it. That's easy to say and easy to talk about and get excited about the prospect of him taking that step, but he's the one who has to do the work, and it does seem like he's putting it in, right? But as I always say, and I long-term viewers and listeners will know what I'm about to say, it's, you know, great when we see these videos, guys working out in the offseason, but that's what they're supposed to be doing, right? It's a glimpse, and I like it, and I'm excited, and I'm happy, but it doesn't mean a whole lot if the next week they're not doing that, and we don't know because there's no video and there's no look-in, right? Now, I assume they are, but we don't know. You know, workout videos don't really move me that much, but I do love the idea of Sorrell working this offseason to take that next step, to become a more complete player, become, you know, the player that the Packers obviously saw when they drafted him and reached that potential. And I think everything you saw him put on tape last year suggests that he could be a very good NFL player. But he's got to do it. He's got to do the work. Dr. Abba, how you doing, man? Hey, Nags, am I wrong for thinking the corner room is still needing work if Nixon is in a starting role? Random Packer, Niall Diggs. Ooh, good call. No, you're not wrong at all. In fact, I think, I don't remember who I was even talking to about this today or yesterday. It all kind of blends together. But, yeah, it's hard to get too excited about that corner room at the moment. Now, we're still very early days in the 2026 league year. I do suspect it'll be a position they target in the draft, but even if they do so, it's hard to imagine that there's going to be a rookie that comes in and just beats out Nixon straight up, right? And St. Juste has come, and he's certainly going to get opportunities, but there's nothing to say that even he beats out, say, Carrington Valentine. I suspect he will, but there's no guarantee. So yeah, man, you're not wrong. There is a long way to go there. And maybe there's a free agent addition. Maybe there's a trade. Hell, there was another trade right before I went live here. I think the Eagles traded someone to the Falcons. But, yeah, so there's been more trades this year than I can ever recall at this point of the season. So maybe the Packers pull another one. You know, they brought in Zaire Franklin, and maybe they trade for a corner at some point. But, yeah, no, I do not think you are wrong at all. There is, you know, every bit of hope as far as getting Parsons back and the addition of Hargrove and try and generate some pass rush to help those corners, right? But don't forget that teams, even when Parsons was healthy, including that game in Denver before he went down, teams knew they needed a completion. They went after Nixon with their best wide receivers. Go back to the Cincinnati game. That game should have been done and dusted, but they kept going after Nixon with, now, admittedly, two of the best receivers in the game, but you know, you're going to face those guys. Hell, you got to face Justin Jefferson twice a year. You know what I mean? Like, teams got a target on his back. And right now, if you're talking about trying to go and win a championship, I don't know, man. It's real hard to see that path through the cornerback collection that they have right now. But the good news is they don't play on Sunday. Let's see how the rest of the offseason plays out. Jerry, thanks again, man. The best defenses hit the QB, no matter the base. 1,000,000,000% correct. Hell, hit the QB, get him off his spot, hurry him up, get his internal clock sped up, whatever you got to do. Affect the quarterback. Big time. Dennis, how are you, man? All I want for this year's draft is a bunch of twitchy athletic players in key spots. Easy peasy. Seems like it shouldn't be a problem, right? Like, why do they try to make it so difficult? Jeff, how are you, sir? I'm really hoping Reed has a monster year. He's a Swiss Army knife. By the way, in my earlier post today, the pack was the Phoenix Rising. Got it. I thought you were talking about the UWGB program. But, you know, Reed is, without question, way, way, way better than some Packers fans give him credit for. That's an oddity to me. And I get it's that time of year where everyone's just trying to play GM and look at contracts and try and get ahead of it and be active with trades and reshape the roster. I like good players. I like keeping them on my team. I like guys who have a connection to the quarterback playing wide receiver. These are all things that I'm into. Your mileage may vary. You never really know, right? Oh, Funko, I'm glad you asked about this. Thoughts on being able to trade draft picks 5 years in advance? I know this is something that has been kind of bandied about. I think the Browns put that out there as far as one of their proposed rule changes. This really, and I mean really, feels like a solution in search of a problem. I think we're fine right now. Like I just talked about, there are tons of trades going down at the moment. Plenty of ability to move players if you want to. And, you know, the worry, if you do open it up, that five-year window, and someone utilizes that to go all in or trade a bunch of stuff away for, say, a player or position in the draft, et cetera, and then they miss on whatever it is, player or spot, man, that's hard to dig out from. You know, 5 years down the line, you've really hamstrung yourself if you use significant capital through the five-year window. I think, again, I just think it feels like a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. That's just me. I guess maybe people want more NBA-style trades. I don't know. I just think the NFL is the king right now because of parity. And again, the swing that could potentially have for a franchise to have real issues trying to get out from under a bad trade, I don't know. That just feels unnecessary to me. Peter, 1,000,000,000%. Should Bob Harlan be in the Hall of Fame? Yes, 1,000,000,000%. Given the importance of the Green Bay Packers as one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL, the fact that he saved the franchise with his actions, 2003 Lambeau Field, all the forward thinking and forward looking he did. Yeah, 1,000,000,000% should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Without doubt, without question. We don't need another Dan Devine. Jim, you ain't wrong, brother. Absolutely. I love it. Smooterino, what's going on, man? Hey, Nags, I was the burner on Blue Sky that got roped into your wager with Mike Tenier. Need me to officiate this great pundit wager and make sure it's a clean fight? I don't know that we need officiating. It's a pretty cut and dried bet. I mean, I said Packers win the division. Book it. And if they don't, I have to go on his podcast and talk about how he knows all there is to know about the Green Bay Packers and is the greatest Packers prognosticator and analyst of all time. And then, of course, if the Packers do win the division, he has to come on Cheesehead TV and talk about how he knows nothing about the Packers and he always will acquiesce to my analysis. Because I did make fun of him a little bit because he's so, you know, doing the Mike Tenier thing where everything's like this fun, sarcastic quip about every single thing. And it's like, okay, but that's not real analysis. Like, I think he's got a great NFL football mind, but he doesn't know how the Packers have been operating over the course of the last 3 years since they traded Aaron Rodgers. and what they have set themselves up to do at this moment in this offseason, where they knew they were going to be losing the talent they lost, and they have a pipeline of talent coming in to take its place. He's not cognizant of any of that. But I get it. From the outside looking in, he's more than happy and more well within his rights to make fun of the Packers, make fun of Packers fans. I get it. I get it. I just know he's wrong. So I can't wait till, you know, the end of this season after the Packers win the division, and he has to come on Cheesehead TV and talk about how wrong he was. It's going to be great. Doctor, what's up, man? I will say, for whatever gripes anybody has with the front office or team in general, Goody seems committed to putting a championship caliber team out. I very much agree. And it's funny to watch some of the grousing and grumbling on Twitter in particularly about, oh, they don't want to win. Like, they're not all in. As if they didn't just trade for Micah fucking Parsons like 8 months ago. Like, just because they don't make every single move all of the time doesn't mean they're not in it to win it. But I understand, again, it's the internet and people are going to go crazy and have their little pet hates. And that is the thing that has driven me a little insane already this offseason. I've tried to step back from it a little bit. It's like my new thing is when people do start talking about, oh, the Packers are just happy to be in the playoffs. They don't want to win the championship. I just go right to the Animal House GIF. Forget it. He's rolling. Like, I'm done engaging with all of that. Like, you can think it fine. I think you're totally wrong. I'm never going to convince you otherwise. I've tried to spend the last 18 years convincing people of this. You know, I've heard this nonsense forever and I'm just done engaging with it. You know, fine. That's your thought. That's how you want to look at it. Awesome, man. It ain't the way I kind of work, you know? All right, everybody, I gotta get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday. Go Pack, go.